It is a pre-Easter Loftus party. We're going to party in the style of a Loftus. We're going to party in the style of a flying tiger, fire, dragon, dragon adjacent. I don't know why I'm talking like this, but it's fun and it's funny. I may continue for a little while longer. Holy smoke. Huge week. Big week. We got Mitt Romney sounding off. We got Eric Swalwell being a complete and total dork. We got illiteracy rates across the country just through the roof. People, our Democratic policies, the federal government being in charge of our education system is not a good idea. It's an epic fail. We got Easter news. Notre Dame. We got Big Billy Barr sounding off on what's going on with the Mueller report. We got pop culture news. We got Game of Thrones updates. We got The Rise of Skywalker. My God, what do you people want? What do you people need? We've got coming in via Skype. We don't know from what location she's reporting from. We got the gypsy in full effect doing her gypsified political infotainment. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Love it, love it, love it. Let's start. Let us commence with Billy Barr. What we think this means? I know what I think it means. Whatever. It's wild. It's like I find myself having to step back and look at the big picture of this whole thing, because I think we're quickly losing sight. Everybody's so focused on fighting over the type of bark on each individual tree. People forget to ask the question, how do we even get in this forest? Why are we in this forest? Let's get out of here. There's no charges brought. I did a video on YouTube about this, and this is great. This is one of those things where we talked about this on a podcast a long, long time ago, and you brought it to my attention. This is what I love about the show. You brought it to my attention that Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy in her employment for 20 years. Mm-hmm. For 20 years.
Yeah.
And I think it's outrageous. And you guys, the Washington Post did a big article about it. If you listen to this podcast, you knew about it. However, the enormity of the double standard at play here, like it's outrageous. I can't, like, when I start to think about it, when I start to talk about it, I get upset. This is why people run around with their fists in the air and going crazy. But just a quick update. Like, here we are. The Mueller report is in. They're done. They spent a lot of money. They had unlimited resources. They had all these lawyers, all these agents. They investigated everybody. They caught people in perjury traps. They got process crimes out the wazoo. They did it. They did it. They're like, no charges need to be brought. Okay, the president isn't a Russian operative. There was no collusion. So. Good Lord in heaven, if you think that might have been, do you think Mueller would have been shy about saying, hey, we got to charge these people, got to throw them in jail? He showed that he was not shy about throwing people in jail at all. So with that being said, like supposedly all this crap started with George Papadopoulos and Carter Page and blah, blah, blah. And Russian people came to them and made offers and blah, blah, blah. So the FBI did nothing. The CIA did nothing. Our government did nothing. But they... Let's stand back and see how this plays out. Let's see who we can trap in this web. Let's keep this going. They encouraged that behavior. Now, when the FBI knew, here I go, I'm going total Rush Limbaugh here. When the FBI knew Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy in her employment for 20 years, and she was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, they just called her up, and they go, hey, you got a Chinese spy, and like. They didn't arrest the guy. They didn't question the dude. Her response was she fired him. I let him go. You guys, this isn't an In-N-Out burger. This is a, like oh, the hypocrisy. It's just it's maddening. It's maddening. Gypsy, I know you have stuff you want to chime in with. Jump on in. I gotta take a deep breath. I'm hyperventilating.
Well, the media reaction is what we expected the media reaction to be. My favorite was probably Jonathan Carl, who said, "Well, there was nothing that met the legal bar of conspiracy, but there might have been collusion." Guys, you've been calling it collusion for 2 years because you knew nothing met the bar of conspiracy, so really let's not retread that, okay? I think most of us felt from the beginning that the whole Russian collusion thing was garbage because it's Donald Trump, okay? His campaign couldn't collaborate with itself during the election. Like, they
It was
couldn't,
like eight dudes.
but I mean, they couldn't, they were like the gang that couldn't shoot straight. As far as the campaign organization, it was the loosest thing in the world. So, I mean, the idea that there was some big conspiracy going on its face was rather ridiculous in my humble opinion. And
And just very quickly to that point, like I still don't No. Okay, so the Trump campaign, it's like a loosey-goosey, fly by the seat of your pants. No one's so what how could the run how could they have helped them? Like what were they offering? What was the deal? What was the interference? I still don't know.
I don't. Well, the thing was supposedly people knew things they wouldn't have known unless they were in cahoots with WikiLeaks, but none of that panned out. And WikiLeaks was in cahoots with the Russian government. I mean, that just is what it is. But here's the
I don't
thing that.
believe that at all. At
Well,
all.
oh, I do.
I can't
I mean,
wait for Julian
Assange's former
to talk. I can't
employees.
wait.
Assange's employee, I can't remember the name, the German, his name, the guy who,
Vixenhovenschlagen.
yes, a German person who was working at WikiLeaks, basically came out and said it. Like, we thought we were doing something wonderful and putting information out there in the public interest. Turns out, that's not what we were doing. We were an agent of, the Russian government. So, I
Who
don't.
said this?
It's a German guy that worked for him and ended up quitting. They like had a big screaming fit before he went. I can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, I'll look it up.
First I've
I'll
heard
send
of
it
it.
to you.
I will withhold judgment
I will
because
find it.
I am
But
ignorant of the facts.
yeah, no, I've never. Was I entertained by the drop of the DNC? Sure, I was. I've never been an Assange fan. Ever. Yeah, the stuff wasn't wrong, and it was interesting and very titillating
It was
information.
horrifying. It was horrifying.
Well, just reinforce everything we ever knew about the DNC.
I seriously, I didn't know about the crazy let's drink fake blood out of the fake coffin with the fake dead dude in it. Like that, seriously, like even if you're like oh, I'm just into modern art and I'm just into performance art and stuff, like really? You're gonna go to a dinner party with Lady Gaga and drink fake dead blood out of a coffin with a fake dead dude in it? Like that's like something's wrong with John Podesta. Something's wrong with anybody who's into that. Like I hate to cast those kinds of dispersions on somebody. I would say it to a friend. Like, what are you gonna do this Saturday night? Oh my goodness, I'm gonna go to a dinner party, and we're all gonna wear. We're all gonna get really dressed up, and then we're gonna go and look at some fake dead people. But the thing is, you got to really like believe they're dead, and like really get into it. And then we drink the blood out of the coffin. Okay, have a good Saturday. I'm never talking to you again. Like, you're not invited to my barbecue if that's right. But that's one of the things from WikiLeaks. But that I don't. I listen. I'm not. I don't want to get into spirit cooking and all that craziness. But that's like Oh my gosh, the things that Podesta and Hillary Clinton, they were talking about the Catholic Church, and how to sway people's minds and the whole behind the scenes, and it was I was thrilled with WikiLeaks. I was thrilled with WikiLeaks for doing that. I interrupted so horribly. I
Oh,
apologize.
that's fine. Here's my issue with the whole thing that nobody on the right or the left seems to talk about. So, some people in the Trump campaign might have talked to some people who were Russian or Russian adjacent. Okay. Hillary Clinton's campaign hired an opposition research group who hired a guy who did nothing but talk to Russians for the purpose of getting opposition research. The only interactions that, the only actual meeting that, as I understand it from what I've read of the report so far, was that Natalia Vesova, the Trump Tower meeting, begins with a V. I can't say her last name.
Vsava
Supposedly, they had some opposition research on Hillary Clinton. There's nothing wrong with the Trump campaign getting that opposition research any more than there was anything wrong with Hillary Clinton, and the Clinton campaign hiring Christopher Steele. You can collect
Yeah.
opposition research from anyone, is
Dig
the
it. And then
point.
what who was what was the name of the company that was doing the research, the
Fusion
company that they hired?
GPS.
Fusion GPS. So just for that Vilasava Chavachevish girl from the Trump Tower meeting that we're also upset about, she got a special dispensation to get back in the country. Through the Department of Justice, and that was on Eric Holder's watch. She gets off the plane and she goes directly to Fusion GPS for lunch, maybe to have tea. Who knows? Let's assume the best. Maybe they were crocheting G-strings. Then they set up the Trump Tower meeting. After she gets there and they talk about adoption and there is no dirt on the Clintons, then she goes back to Fusion GPS, and then she goes back again the next day to Fusion GPS. So I think I smell a setup. I think I
I also,
smell a setup.
I have to go back and verify this, but I'm 95% sure I read something to the effect of Fusion GPS was actually doing work for that woman based on the Magnitsky Act, so it was actually doing lobbying.
Sure,
So there was definitely a relationship there, but the fundamental thing is, why is it not at all problematic for Hillary Clinton's campaign to engage someone, pay them to talk to people in Russia. But the Trump campaign, when people from Russia approached them and said, "We have some information on your competition," why members of that campaign staff could not talk to the people who said they had the information. I don't get what the fundamental difference between those two processes are. Like, why was this so terrible to begin
Exactly.
with?
And that's dig it, dig it. And that's when you start to get into the we're defending our democracy, we're defending our republic, and if this did happen, if this meeting did happen, regardless of whataboutism, if this meeting did happen, da da da, and then you're arguing about the what kind of bark is on a certain kind of tree in a forest you shouldn't even be in. And
Right. Well,
this is my gut reaction. It's like this whole prove a negative thing. Well, prove to me, hey Donald Trump, hey Trump administration, prove to me you're not spies. Prove to me you weren't. Prove to me that you weren't this and that. And I think that has been proven, and now they're going to continue to drag it out because they want to keep to, you got to prove you're not. You got to prove you're not. It's the same thing they did. It's the latest tactic. The same thing they did with the Supreme
Kavanaugh.
Court dude. Prove to me you're not. Prove to me you're not. And
Well,
it's why they love to call the right racist. Prove to me you're not. Prove to me you're not. And I am legitimately toying around with this idea. However, I don't want to get sued for libel or anything. But as a somewhat comedic notion, I want Dianne Feinstein to prove to me she's not a Chinese spy. She needs to prove that to me. Seriously, she had a Chinese spy in her employee for 20 years.
well, and her husband has made
Like, what did she
millions
know?
of dollars in China through business deals
Yeah.
with the Chinese. So,
I
yeah, give me a break.
legit I want to know that I want to know if she was a Chinese spy or not, and if she still is working for the Chinese government, and what kind of secrets that she shared with them, and then who else has she been talking to in the Senate? I think this could affect everyone. This could infect the Senate. It could affect Congress. Adam Schiff probably needs to account for his whereabouts. I have him on tape. I have him on tape talking to a Russian radio station with these Russian DJs saying they had secrets on Donald Trump, and he was more than willing to take that call. Who else has he talked to? Who else has he talked to and made deals with behind our back? Mr. Schiff, you have to prove to me. You have to prove to me you are not a Russian asset. Isn't this a great thing? And Eric Swalwell, you need to prove you're not a Russian spy. You are. I want to know where you have been. You need to account for your whereabouts. I need all your phone records. Who have you been talking to? Where do you get your money? Where? How do? Where do you? Like seriously, we can do this all day long.
Oh, I don't disagree. The overarching things that came out of it for me is number one, the language used in the report is dishonest overall, in my estimation. Just the absolute certainty with which it states that Vladimir Putin wanted Donald Trump to win and they did things during the election to affect that outcome is just garbage. The intelligence agencies don't even say that. The intelligence agencies have said repeatedly that the goal was to sow division, which they did a pretty good job at. I mean, you got to kind of give them a round of applause, So, like that sentence literally just ticked me off. The language they used at the end around obstruction of justice. First of all, I mean, there's so many things there that run smack into the First Amendment. I didn't realize that presidents lose their First Amendment rights when they take their oath of office. That it's insane. They actually used the legal theory that says a sitting president can be indicted for doing what he's allowed to do legally, like firing James Comey. I mean, like, literally, if you took that definition, your cat could be indicted for obstruction of justice. So
That's why I
that
don't
was
have a
the
cat
other
anymore.
thing. And then, the other thing I just struggle with, so you look at the people who've kind of been ruined over this. I mean, Devin Nunes has been painted as an extremist nutbag, right? He's
Yeah.
literally on TV the other day saying, guys, what nobody seems to remember is in the last IG report, we have the text from Peter Strzok to Lisa Page that says, oh, on this Russia thing, there's no there. They knew
Yeah.
before Mueller was
Yeah.
ever even on board. So, how do you obstruct an investigation into something that the FBI already knew wasn't there?
Yeah, and I'm gonna give Mueller the benefit of the doubt. I seriously am, because there's your my knee-jerk reaction is if as soon as Mueller knows there's nothing there, he should have just come out with the report. There's nothing.
Absolutely.
Listen, there's nothing here. There's no. There's so the cynic in me says, oh, he wants to play it out and get the most mileage out of this. But let's just be insane optimists and say he wanted to make quadruple sure there was nothing,
Nope.
and that's why it took so long. So Democrats need to sit down.
If Bill Barr
Adam
had
Schiff
not
needs
been
to sit down.
confirmed, if Bill Barr had not been confirmed, that investigation would be ongoing.
It's
I
and
told you
that's the other
before they
thing that
confirmed Barr, if once that man is in the chair, the Mueller investigation will be over.
did you
Huh?
sure you did because you're up on all this stuff. I'm saying, did you see, and I'm sure you did because you're up on all this stuff, the look on Rod Rosenstein's face when Bill Barr was doing his little press conference?
Dude, people thought he was a cardboard cutout.
It was fantastic.
I
It
don't
was
think he
fantastic.
blinked.
No, and here's the wild thing. I was watching some program on Fox. Maybe it was Martha McCallum, whatever. She had Ken Starr on there from the Clinton investigation dude. And Ken Starr, that was like Ken. That was the thing that Ken Starr liked the most. He goes, it's such justice. It's such wonderful symbolism. It's just so like Ken Starr just thought it was delicious that Rod Rosenstein
had
to stand up there. Oh, yeah. He goes, this is the best. This is to have Bill Barr's given this and Rod Rosenstein's got to stand there right next to him. That it, to him, that was like the ultimate symbolism of the most fantastic thing. It's like he was in Disneyland. It was the best.
Really?
It was the
best. I had somebody like posit to me that that was Rosenstein's rehabilitation. I'm like, no, it's not. Like they were going to rehab Rod Rosenstein's, you know, reputation or whatever. I'm like, no, it's not. I said Rod Rosenstein was maintained for one reason and one reason only. And that is so that he could sign off on anything Bill Barr did because he was the one that called Mueller in the first place.
Yep,
that is the
only
reason.
Fantastic symbolism. Hey, buddy, you were behind this from Jump Street. You were on board from day one. So now it's the end. You're going to stand here, too. And boy, he looked like Barney Fife in front of a firing squad. It was fantastic.
I don't know who the guy on the left was with the beard.
Oh, I don't know either.
I don't know who that was, but I will tell you, I was so highly entertained during that press conference, especially once reporters opened their mouths, because it was 100% clear at that point they don't know how any of this works.
Oh, it was fantastic. There was that great video clip going around the internet of the girl going, "Isn't this unprecedented?" And then Bill Barr. Happened before? No. Okay, then. I believe unprecedented is the correct word. Like, moving on. Just
my other favorite was, you know, it's been noted that Robert Mueller isn't here, and you know, this is his report. So, can you tell us, you know, why he's not here to talk to us as well? And Barr goes, "No, this is my report. He worked for me. His work product is mine." And I'm like, "Yes." No,
and
in fact, it's not.
I love
Mueller's
how everybody's
report.
How everybody's going. Yeah, Mueller can testify. Sure, bring him. Do it. Go. Yeah, let him testify. It's wonderful.
Well, like the level of transparency is another thing, and forgive the word, that is completely unprecedented. You know, the public didn't. We got some view into the independent counsel and whatever else, but they completely changed the law. So that was never supposed to happen again. And that was Democrats that did that after Clinton's impeachment. And now they're insisting on we get to see everything. Okay, then why did you make this law? Oh, I see. That's only the case if it's a Democrat being investigated. Got it.
Yeah, I'm ready for the worm to turn on this. I'm ready to really start asking who started this investigation. Why did they start investigating this whole thing that was a non-starter? And who knew and when? Mm-hmm. Because if you're going off the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page texts, you could make a very good case for it goes all the way to the White House, all the way to the White House.
Well,
okay.
I mean, all the obstruction section did was say, yeah, Trump is Trump. We know he does these kinds of things. He does something, and then to avoid embarrassment, he does something else equally silly, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. He was under investigation. He knew he hadn't done anything wrong. When that happens, he goes on the attack. He does it publicly. I mean, you can't – I just don't see how you take any of that, you know, out of frustration. He tells McGahn, fire Mueller. McGahn says, no, thank you. You can fire me first. You know, his staff did stop him from doing some really dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Or just, like, let him cool down to the place where he figured out it wasn't a good idea. How can you obstruct justice? I mean, they were literally saying that him calling Paul Manafort a good man during his sentencing phase was obstruction of justice. Does everybody forget when Barack Obama said, Trayvon, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin? Do you think that could have impacted what was going on in that trial?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you have the bully pulpit, and yeah, your words do have effect, but you can't take away a president's First Amendment rights when something like that is going on. You can't do it.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And just when and when you think that you know that the scales are already tipped and everybody's all weighed in and things can't get worse or more awkward or whatever, then Mitt Romney says, "Hold my beer." Mitt Romney, I oh my gosh, somebody on Twitter today was like, "I hereby reclaim my vote from 2016 for Mitt
2012.
Romney." And I'm like,
Yeah.
I this guy, what is his malfunction? What is that guy's major malfunction? I really do try to adhere to Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not make fun or whatever to your fellow Republican. That's I'm paraphrasing. But like
There is still a con
what does it benefit Mitt Romney to do this stuff?
There is still a contingent within the Republican Party that believes, in my humble opinion, that believes in decorum above all else. So just because our opponents have no boundaries, and they don't. I mean, you had April Ryan on TV this morning saying that Sarah Sanders should be beheaded. That's ridiculous. They have no boundaries. And Republicans all have always thought if we could just be nicer, be something that the media will like us and will stop getting painted with this brush, and that is never going to happen. It's not going to happen. And part of Trump's appeal to someone like me is that he does not apologize. He does not bend to the mob. He is honestly dishonest when he, man said on the campaign trail, "I know all about politicians because when I was a businessman, I tried to bribe them." I mean, literally talked about trying to bribe politicians, which is illegal. He is honestly dishonest. It's already baked into the cake. Already
That's
baked
like when
into the
people
cake.
would go, he's really a Democrat because he donated to Hillary's campaign and he donated to Bill's campaign. I'm like, that you're trying to do business in the city of New York. You're trying to do business in New York. You're gonna donate to everybody. You're gonna donate to everybody.
And
You
he
gotta make
donated to
friends.
Republicans too. But I mean, he was a registered Democrat, and I don't care. I don't think he's really a typical Republican. He's certainly done things that I like, but who Donald Trump is hasn't changed. He's a guy in construction in New York City, which isn't a pretty business. And he kind of runs the White House the same way. Kind of predictable.
And I dig it. And I dig it. I've said it before on the show, and you guys, you have to go back. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere with Trump talking about the ice rink. The Trump talking about having to watch the state of New York just bumble and fumble and waste all this money and waste all this time and waste on this effort to an ice rink that was never going to work. It was never going to work right. And then finally he stepped in, he took over. It's like the best metaphor for government trying to solve problems, simple problems, spending a lot of money, asking for more money, not getting the result they want, wasting time, wasting effort, when someone who actually knows how to build things can step in, get it done for pennies on the dollar. I you've got to become familiar with that story. It'll change the way you think about politics. And in that vein, you've got Bernie Sanders talking.
Oh,
You got
God.
Bernie Sanders going off today about when I'm in the White House, education is going to be our top priority, and the t today's school children can't do this and they can't do that. And once I get in there, I'm going to make everything better.
No, you're
And
not.
it's crazy. When Candace Owens had her moment in front of Ted Lieu, I'm like, I just love the way, and this is, I really respect this. I like it about so many like pundits and people on TV. They just like are a Gatling gun of facts. They're just a Gatling gun of facts. And I've always wanted that. I've always wanted to be able just to drip off like insane bombastic stats. So I looked it up. Like I started doing research on the performance of schools, and I didn't even get to the national level. I got to like California schools, like and the results are just are horrible, you guys. They're horrible. The 11th graders in the state of California have to take this like proficiency test, for lack of a better word, to see where they are with English and math skills and everything, you know, because they got a year. California, the state of California wants to know where you are in the 11th grade because they got a year to try to get you into shape so they can kick your butt out the door and not be on the hook, I think, legally for not giving you an education. Of the 11th graders in the African American 11th graders in California, it's like only 26% could read at a grade level. That is a staggering, that is an epic failure. That is an epic failure. And how many years has the federal government been running these schools? How many, oh, we're gonna do this test and we're gonna make sure this is that, and then oh, you can't do this and you gotta do that. It's an epic fail. Like, how long are we gonna let these policies keep going? And when a socialist comes in, I'm gonna make it all better, I'm gonna fix it. Oh, good Lord.
No,
There's
please.
just for that reason alone, don't elect the guy.
Well, if you look at what has happened to the K through 12 public education system since the advent of the Department of Education, teacher hiring has remained flat. Administrator hiring has gone through the roof because you have all these mandated programs and things that school districts are supposed to do, which are completely outside the scope of education. That it's absolutely ridiculous. We don't put our resources in the classrooms where children are actually taught. We put it in administrators and high-paid district staff who don't produce any educational result, best I can tell. I certainly didn't have them growing up, and I'm willing to bet you more than a third of my friends could read, at grade level when we graduated. Like they were hitting Betsy DeVos a couple weeks ago, for her Department of Education budget reducing literacy programs. When I was in school, reading in the classroom was my literacy program. When I got to
It's
junior high, English lit was my literacy program. We were taught to read in the classroom. We didn't need, I mean, there was might have been a resource teacher for kids who were dyslexic or had some learning disabilities, but like one person could help those kids.
There is no way to describe the policies that we've been going with, and we're not on the right path. It's an epic
Not at
fail.
all.
It's an epic fail across the board. And then now the state of California and the teachers union and everybody is like, ooh, we got to put a freeze on charter schools. We got to put a freeze on charter
No,
schools.
no,
Exactly, right? The exact wrong thing to do at the
exact
exact wrong
opposite.
time.
I mean, Democrats hate school choice so bad. I forget the name of the program, but it's specific to Washington, D.C. And it's a charter school program that has been exceptionally well run and gotten exceptional results. And it generally serves minority students. Every couple years when funding for this thing comes up, they try to kill it. At our federal government, because that's who largely runs, DC in terms of funding a lot of stuff. Every time they try to kill it, all these parents take to the streets and start screaming because the thing has been what like the one effective education program that Washington, D.C. has ever come up with, okay? And they want to kill it because it's
Because
not the
they're
right
idiots.
kind. I mean, it's just insane.
And they're idiots, and let's keep the idiots out of office. Let's keep idiots out like Eric Swalwell. I tell you, this guy is such a piece of work. He's just such a piece of work. I've seen him go toe to toe with Tucker Carlson. The guy doesn't blink. He's steadfast. It's really It's
Creepy.
really disturbing. It really is how he can spin, he can sidestep, he doesn't blink. So now he's running for president, and
Yeah, it's going nowhere.
he's like, I want to debate the NRA. I want somebody from the NRA, and God, Dana Lash steps up, like, oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll be quick. And he's like, oh, I want to talk to somebody from the NRA. And then next, John Lott. I had the pleasure. I interviewed John Lott. He's this great statistician. He knows. He literally writes the book about gun violence and the actual statistics. Just an insanely smart guy. John Lott's like, I'll debate you. I'll do it. And Swalwell's like, no, I want to debate the head of the NRA. Like, no, you're not. I can't stand this guy. I
Well,
can't stand him. I
okay.
can't stand his wiener-lipped, non-blinking. I'm just gonna go personal attacks now. I'm like,
Yeah,
I'm. I
no,
used to like try to shy
I just
away
call
from
him Nuke
personal attacks,
Boy.
but now I'm gonna get way into it.
First of all, no one has ever run for president on a gun control agenda, and no one ever will because it's a non-starter. Eric Swalwell, much like Kirsten Gillibrand and Pete Buttigieg, right? They're running for something. They're running for
Yeah.
president to run for something else. Do you know what I mean? They're not.
Buttigieg.
Yeah, Buttigieg is never going to be elected governor in Indiana. Well, at least not in the next, probably decade or so, because it's trended deep red. They're not going to elect a Democrat for governor or probably for another statewide office. So this is all he can do and hope that somebody appoints him to a job in an administration or picks him as a VP candidate.
Yeah, well,
That's it.
I think he's gonna have a very successful presidential run. I think he's gonna go out so far, and you're gonna have there will be a huge contingent of wouldn't it be nice to have our first gay president? Wouldn't it be nice? Like,
I don't care.
I'm not even kidding you. I'm not even kidding you.
But
It
I
seems so
mean,
nice, and wouldn't it be awesome?
the whole gay thing, if you're a straight white gay male, you have lost all your intersectional worth at this point. They don't care anymore. They're done with you. They
Yeah.
just expect you to vote for them. But
It's funny.
can you
And then
just
just for this is just a little piece of trivia. I guess Buchanan, I might be wrong, but I guess Buchanan was actually our first gay president. He had wasn't married, had a roommate, and in the Senate and Congress, they called him as a couple, they called him like Aunt Fancy and Miss Nancy. That was like
Oh,
they're like
great.
their nicknames, which I think is awesome. But that's what Buttigieg should do. He should bring back Aunt Nancy and Miss Fancy.
Yeah, but I mean, so first of all, I don't care who you sleep with. It's not my business, right?
Dig it. Dig it.
But second of all, can I just say this? What is the state of the Democratic Party when one of your freshest faces for leader of the free world is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which has less than 100,000 people.
Well, it's about ideas. That's what they'll say. It's about ideas.
No, it's not about
The same
ideas.
ideas that make South Bend the
The
utopia
armpit,
that it is.
yeah, the armpit of the Midwest. Like, if you look
Yeah.
what's happened there, none of it's good.
Stacy, if he didn't have such obstructionists in South Bend, it would be wonderful. If they didn't have these horribly racist MAGA people in South Bend, it would be a paradise on earth. And these ideas, they may just be small now, but we're going to plant the seed, and we're going to grow them with love, and it's going to spread globally. It's going to spread globally,
I
and
mean,
it'll stop hate. It'll please stop with the hate.
in these very, very un I don't need unconfrontational terms about his extreme left positions.
Yeah.
So he sounds like a moderate, but if you actually listen to his words, he's not. He's Bernie.
Don't you want Trump to debate him, though? Don't you want that?
No,
I
I
mean,
want
I
him to
see there's
debate
so many.
Bernie.
Like, I think about this as like a WWE matchup. I think about it as like a boxing match, and there's so many. Like I want Trump to go. I want to see Trump debate Bernie. I want to see him to debate Buttigieg. I want to see him debate Kamala. I want him to go up against all of them. All of them.
But
I'm
he's
just.
never gonna do that. But you know who
I
is gonna
know we're
get to
only
go
gonna
up
get one.
against?
We're only gonna get one, and that I feel ripped off by it.
You know who is gonna get to go up against if he so chooses to even have not acknowledge this particular little dumpster fire?
Oh, what's this dude? The
Bill
Republican
Weld, the
or
former vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. Like, Bill
Yeah.
Kristol, are you insane? Bill, did you hit your head?
I
My
just I
God.
I have been
He is less interesting than John Kasich.
it's
If his
you know
dad was a
Kasich, his
mailman,
dad was
I'm
a
gonna
postman.
die.
It's fun to think about Bill Kristol. Oh my gosh. It, the
But like,
they
did you
have
really just do
no
that? Like,
clue.
so you're talking about a bunch of like dyed in the wool, ultra conservative people that are still clinging to this never Trump thing and are so they're as upset as Democrats by the Mueller report, right?
Yes.
So you're talking largely very religious people, very social conservative, and you just gave them a pro-choice libertarian?
It's
What were
like
did you
it's
not
like
know who your audience is?
they have no clue.
I'm
They
like, oh
have
my God.
no clue. It's like the movie Gladiator, right? And like Russell Crowe is like Donald Trump. And then you got Bill Kristol like, behold my champion. And like out stumbles this loser. And he's just gonna get his ass handed to him. It's a waste of time, and it doesn't even
I
have a
know
high
several of
entertainment
these
value.
people.
What?
I know several of these people who are these, you know, just dyed in the wool, never Trumpers, because he's so boorish and ridiculous sometimes, and they haven't learned to laugh at some of the things that he does because they just don't laugh very much. But these
This
people
is
are
this is.
never going to vote for Bill Weld. It's like I don't understand how you just diss your audience like that.
It's really funny, but with the Never Trumpers and the Democrats, it's the same thing that they would do with like George W. He's this evil genius. He's this evil genius who was able to trick everyone. He's this evil genius who was able to trick everyone. They'd say that about the war in Iraq, and they say it about Donald Trump and collusion with the Russians. He's this devious mastermind that was able to outwit everyone. And then in the next breath, they'll go, "What an idiot! What a moron! What a rube!"
You
It's
can't
like,
have
no,
it both
you have to
ways.
pick. He's either one of the Three Stooges. Or he's Brainiac, okay? You have to pick. It's outrageous. Meanwhile, the rest of the world spins not on, and it's weird the things that like stick in my craw. It's the weird things that they get my panties in a twist. And the most recent one is this whole Kate Smith. We're not going to play her rendition of God Bless America or God Save America, whatever the heck the song. God Bless America. Like they do that at the Yankees game, seventh inning stretch. So they've gone back, somebody with way too much time on their hands, and they found a recording of Kate Smith singing a song on Broadway from 1938. And she uses the word darkies in it. That's why maybe I could be wrong here. I guess the title of the song is that's why God made darkies or whatever. The stage
Yeah,
show
really, by today's
was
standards, it would be
satire.
like
But no,
blah.
like listen, people need to know this. This was not a dramatic show. This was
Right?
not like this was a tongue-in-cheek satirical. The song is like the scope of the play is we're making fun of that. So I'm sorry that she uttered the word darky, but it's 1938, and this whole thing about judging artists from any previous era by today's standards is just ridiculous, and we have to stop. We have to stop,
Yeah, they're th
or
th this is literally the definition of beating a dead horse.
yes, or this is what I really want to do. I want to go on the offensive here. Like, let's do it. If we're gonna do it, let's do it. It's like I'm talking about, Adam Schiff, Dianne Feinstein. Prove to me you're not a Russian spy. Prove to me. I want an investigation. Yada yada yada. So I want to start, like, literally, like, let's look into every cultural hero on the left and look at the things that they said. Let's start burning Richard Pryor albums. Let's start doing it. He
Oh my
was
God, there's no
very,
way
very
Richard Pryor could
profane.
come up today. There's no way.
Say what?
There is no way Richard
No.
Pryor could come up through the ranks of stand-up today.
Exactly. Who was the president after Kennedy? After Kennedy, Johnson.
Johnson.
I want his name stricken from the record books. I've got him on tape throwing around the N-word. I want his name off of every school. I don't want to see him on the History Channel. I don't know that he ever existed. And for that matter, let's look into the Kennedys. I think that Ted Kennedy was pretty cavalier in letting a girl drown, and we can't do that. And the way that they treated women in the Me Too movement is beyond horrific. I want their name stricken. I don't want to see it on any public building. I don't want any more movies. I want him off the money, all of it. Like, literally, if we're going to play this game, let's go on the offense. I can't, can you convince me that Abraham Lincoln never used the N-word? I bet he did. We need to rip down that monument. I want
Yeah, but
him
he's
off
a
the money.
Republican.
Well, listen.
We'll keep him. Come on, let's not tear
Knowing
down our
that,
own.
no. I'm keenly aware of that. I'm keenly aware. But there's a big monument to him. And it offends me. So let's tear it down. George Washington, let's get rid of all of it. What are we doing? Like, let's get aggressive here. It's ridiculous. Like, seriously, like, I want to know, like we got to find out who started this whole Kate Smith thing, and like, let's go after them. If we don't, the way things are in England, are in Europe. It's wonderful. It's like our little time machine. We can see what happens if we do nothing. We can see what happens. The experiment's going on. And things aren't so rosy in England.
No,
And
they're
I'll
not.
remind people, you can't buy a knife. You cannot. There's stores that just won't sell
Thousands
it
of
more.
European Jews are moving to Israel
Heck yeah.
because the anti-Semitism is so bad.
And really, I know there's a piece of me that can kind of understand why France doesn't want any more. Well, they were so quick to go into the Notre Dame fire. They're like, oh, that was arson, or that wasn't arson. No, it was an accident. It was an accident. Like, they were saying it like as the building was still going up, like as the building was still in flames. It was an accident. It was an accident. And this is like total. Oh, I'm gonna go total Alex Jones on you here. There's a piece of video, and you guys can find it. I don't think YouTube has taken it down yet. I don't think Reddit has taken it down yet. There's, surveillance cameras all over Paris, and there's a surveillance camera. And the only reason I'm not shouting this from the total rooftops is because I can't find the timestamp on it. But man, there's someone, you can see it with your own two eyes. There's someone wandering around on the roof of the Notre Dame Cathedral, and the scaffolding is up. So it's somewhat recently, because the work scaffolding is up, and you see a flash. You see a flash. Now, whether somebody had something metal in their hand and it was the sun reflecting, or if it was the flash of the beginning of arson, it exists. And I would like to look into that. I would like to look into that. They're a little quick, and I can understand why. Listen, the yellow vest protests are still going on. There's a bunch of unhappy people protesting as we record this.
Which also gets no coverage.
None. None. Europe, England's trying to get out of, they're trying to do Brexit. Oh my gosh, we can't do that. We can't do that. It's taxation without representation. Those people are frustrated. They're the PC culture of it. You got people going to jail for posting jokes on YouTube. You can't use the word brainstorm. You're not allowed to clap
What?
at the University of Manchester.
You
Say
can't use
what?
the word brainstorm?
Yes, they're discouraging it. Several universities have put forth this thing. They're trying to get rid of the word brainstorm
Why?
because it might be offensive to people with epilepsy. So you
Oh
can get in
my
trouble.
God.
They've outlawed clapping at the University of Manchester. It might give people anxiety. The list just goes on and on. People are going to jail over tweets. If you look at what if this PC thing, if you don't nip it, if you don't check it in as you see it and get rid of it, it leads to people going to jail. Like the First Amendment is super duper important, you guys. And I will say this, like I even go on Fox News and I'm highly critical of the late night crowd. Highly critical. It's not healthy. It's not good. I will give Jimmy Kimmel some props. Jimmy Kimmel is producing, he's working with Norman Lear, and they're going to produce a couple old episodes of All in the Family and The Jeffersons. And they're going to show them on, they're going to recast it, they're going to film them again. I just want to know what scripts they're going to use. I just want to know,
Oh, no
that's because,
kidding.
I'm sorry?
No kidding. What
Yeah.
scripts are they going to use of All in the Family? Like everything Archie Bunker says is a no-go.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm gonna give Jimmy Kimmel credit for doing this. I was part of a TV show. I was cast in this thing a million years ago, and then it went away, and then it came back in another form. But I played. We would recreate old TV shows, and we did a thing from The Jeffersons, and I was the white neighbor, and this other cast member was George Jefferson. And man, it was just there was like 11 N-bombs dropped by George Jefferson just in the one scene. But it was hilariously funny, and it was a great thing to think about. And so I'll give Jimmy Kimmel some props for even trying to do that. Unfortunately, today I have to do this, the WGA, whatever. Well, I won't even go into that. It's no one's interested in that. The social justice people and the Writers Guild of America is going through this big upheaval, and if I don't fire my agent, if I don't fire my agent by tomorrow, by Easter, I'm in big trouble. And
What?
there's a lot of they have it gets very complex. It gets very complex, but there's like packaging deals. If a showrunner is, say, with represented by UTA, and the show gets picked up, and now he has to hire a writing staff, UTA says, "Hey, here's a bunch of writers to look at. Maybe hire these guys." And so, I guess the agency gets a packaging fee from the studio, and then the writers who are also with UTA, they don't have to pay a 10% commission because there's money that's already changed hands. So this is the system that's been working in Hollywood for years and years and years, and is one of the big sticking points. So the Writers Guild of America, and this is just one among other things, but this is the one that I find to be the most obtuse. If you don't fire your if you don't fire your agent by Sunday, you're in big trouble, and you don't stay in with a union, and they're going to fight for your right to no longer be packaged by your agency. Ergo, you'll have to pay 10%. So we're striking so that we can pay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
And
one of the other
somebody
things.
thinks this is a good idea because.
Well, because it makes it fair. It makes it fair, right? If you don't have these big packages, then they'll have to look at more writers. And if you look at more writers, then it gives the other
So
people a chance.
I don't
And
want to pay
so,
for your fare.
I really,
Like, I don't want to pay
it's
for
nutty.
your fare.
It's too funny. I was doing stand up last night at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club, working on material for some stuff. I'll tell you about it today. I'll tell you, we got 5 minutes left. I'll tell you about it today. So I'm in the green room down at Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic, and this whole thing. Oh, what are you gonna do about the WGA? And I'm like, well, I talked to my agent about it. And this guy is a friend of mine. I've known this guy for well over 15 years. We're friends and business associates, and he represents me, and he does a really good job. And we came to, after a long conversation the other day, in the interest of my career and continuing to work in Hollywood and yada yada, that I'm gonna have to let him go. And like literally, we have meetings on the books. I have things that he's scheduled for me to do next week. However, I stand with the union, and I don't. I guess I'm a coward, and I
But I
don't want to
mean,
get
you
in
don't
big
just
trouble.
write, so can he still represent you for other things?
This is what makes the gypsy smart. Shh, you figured it out.
Okay.
Our secret. We won't tell
It's just
anybody.
us and everyone who listens to this podcast. Shh.
That was crazy. I'm hearing weird
Okay,
beeps. Are you there?
I think we're back. Yeah, no, it said poor
Okay.
connection and reconnecting. We've reconnected.
That's good. We have reconnected, and I like the little tone. We've never got that tone before. Hopefully our listeners could hear that. That was like you're in a submarine kind of a thing. So here's some more news. I'll dangle this carrot before next week. The Loftus Party, as a stand-up endeavor, is going to hit some comedy clubs, and it's going to be political in nature. It will be pro conservative. It'll be we're gonna I'll be roasting the left. I'll be having some fun. I will know the exact clubs that I'm gonna be hitting, and who I'm gonna be hitting them with. The Deplorable Show continues. We're gonna do some more theaters. They're working on that. However, I'm like, let's get into the clubs. I want to get into the comedy clubs. So, a select few cities, because this was the thing we would always get with the Deplorable Show. You guys, booking theaters is not the easiest thing on the planet. And then when you book a theater, there's a great deal of expense and ticket prices. It affects them. It affects everything. So we'll continue to do that, and we're going to announce more theaters and the Deplorable Show. And Terrence is on the mend. He's got like 6 more weeks of the neck brace. Yada yada. However, in the meantime, I'm going to go out with Brian Hayner and some other acts to be named later, and we're going to have some fun. And we're going to do it at like an improv here and a funny bone there. And the great thing about it is you'll still get to, not feel bad about being a conservative or a libertarian or a small government person. We're still going to make fun of Nancy Pelosi and the left and their idiots. And there's going to be songs and jokes, and it's going to be awesome. However, it's going to be in a comedy club. The ticket price will be a little bit lower, and everybody can get their jam on. I think it's a phenomenal idea. Phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So, look for that announcement next week. And then, holy smoke,
Lots
we
of
just
dates in
passed
Ohio and
the.
Indiana and Georgia and states like that.
Oh my goodness. I've already heard from the comedy zones. I've already heard from a couple of improvs. I've already heard from a couple of funny bones. So now there's some logistics and some timing and some things to figure out. But yeah, like in St. Louis, they're like, hey, like the theater said, no, you cannot come here. However, I'll take the Loftus Party into a little comedy club. Yeah, I want to hit Georgia. I want to hit Georgia. I want to hit Florida. It's gonna be fantastico. It's gonna be fantastico. And just so you guys know, you wonderful friends of the podcast and the website, I'll say this again because it bears repeating. We're now past 8,000 people who follow the Loftus Party on Facebook. That's phenomenal. It's like we're biting off chunks of 100s now. It tickles me to death when I get up and I look at Facebook and they're like 100 people. You're like, what in the heck? So we're gonna get that 10,000 mark. Then that gives us Facebook Watch. YouTube is going insanely well. This show is going insanely well because you guys are sharing and you're jumping in and you're commenting and it's a wonderful, wonderful community we've got going, and it's getting bigger. So have a great Passover. Have a great Easter. I hope you have good ones. It'll be over by the time you get this. But you're all wonderful. You're fantastic. Oh, and a big shout out. Thank you to our Patreons. I'll be giving you guys an update next week, too. It's all wonderful. It's all good news. I'm going to post some pictures of decorated butt cheeks because I know that that's the gypsy's favorite thing in the world. So I'll see you next week.